fear is something that at one time or another, in one way or another, all of us face. And it affects us all in a lot of different ways. For some, insomnia. For others, stress increases. It can produce mental unwellness, like depression and other things. We live in a society that kind of has a carrot and stick mentality. And, you know, you reach for the carrot, but if you don't reach hard enough and fast enough, the stick comes down. And it exploits our fears to compel compliance. Even when we got here, you read something about there going to be penalties now for not following social distancing. And as you can see, we're following social distancing religiously today. But this fear is something that is built in us to some degree. It creates a fight or flight response, either to stand up and address and confront what is fearing us, or if the danger is real and threatening, we flee. We fear consequences. In the Old Testament, God seemed to use fear of himself and what would happen to mold and shape the actions and behavior of his people, and struck fear into the hearts of Israel's enemies. Fear has tended to be used more than almost any other factor to keep the faithful in check. We have books like Paradise Lost and the images that it conjures up, and some of the medieval art of the seven different levels of hell and so on. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. Or even more simply and more within our lifetime, Receive Christ. If you die tonight, you could go to hell. And these kinds of fears and threats rarely lead to spiritual passion or to growth. Now, to be sure, Jesus warns about sin's destructiveness, and he warns about the consequences of neglecting his offer of salvation. But he didn't use fear to induce us to follow him. Someone has said, and I think Andy Stanley was the one I heard it most recently from, there is no more frequent commandment than fear not. Some have suggested it is 365 times to match each day of the year. If you look at some of the other words that are used and some of the implications of those words, it's many more times than 365 times. Be afraid. There is much to fear. We fear the unknown. We fear being unknown. We fear not having enough. We fear getting caught. We fear we'll never find the right person to marry. We fear debilitating or life-threatening diseases. We fear for our children's safety. We fear what other people think of us. We fear they won't think of us. We fear crime. We fear losing a loved one. We fear authority. We fear that we won't get the things we desire most. We fear what others might do to us. We fear rejection. We fear failure. We fear being taken advantage of. We fear being alone. We fear losing our jobs. We fear people finding out we're not all we claim to be. We fear something bad might happen to us. We fear not fitting in. We fear death. Even as we drove up, I mentioned to Joyce that fear is compounded now in Jasper because there has been one case that has been identified as having COVID-19 within our midst. And Alberta Health said for patient confidentiality they could not and would not identify who that person is. So now the people of Jasper, some 5,000 or maybe a few less, with some who have gone back to their respective homelands, wonders. Who is it? Have I come in contact with that person? Have they observed the 14-day quarantine? And all of a sudden, it could be any of us. And fear can be multiplied. This week, I read a book about Robin Hood. And he, according to the legends, used fear dramatically to keep his own followers in line, to punish those who ratted him out or betrayed him in one way or another, for those who would enforce their rule over him, he used fear to keep them at bay. Fear is a tremendous motivator. But God says, fear not. I looked through all of the scriptures that had or implicated the notion of fearing and not fearing. And some refer to fearing the Lord God, and that is appropriate, and it's best translated as revere more than fear in terms of terror. But he also invoked fear in various people. Many of the references that I looked up had specifics of don't fear this or don't fear that. And many of them, if taken in context, would have to be understood as specifically don't fear you people in this time and place over that enemy or this king. I'm not going to go through each one of them and all of the verses that would be included there, but if you want to listen to this later and mark down the references, I'll give you those. Don't fear, don't be afraid of abandonment. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Isaiah 41:13 and following says this, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Daniel was told by the angel not to fear in Daniel 10:12. Lamentations. "You came near when I called you," 3:57 says, "and you said, do not fear." Don't fear angels. And I looked at the stories of Mary and Joseph, and one of the things that they said was, do not fear, do not be afraid. Zechariah was confronted by the angel in the Holy of Holies, and he was gripped with fear, but the angel said, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Many times in battle, God said, do not be afraid. Do not fear this king. Do not fear that enemy. From the story of Gideon and so many others, too numerous to mention. Don't fear circumstances. Psalm 46 is a psalm that I've known for a long time. It was one of the first that I memorized as a child. And 46:2 says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." Those are pretty dramatic circumstances. But we won't fear. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth much more than many sparrows." From Matthew 10:31 and Luke 12:7. Conspiracies. Don't fear conspiracies. This one kind of surprised me a little bit. I know that I've read it numerous times, but it hit me in a different way this week. Isaiah 8:12. "Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it." We live in a town that is something of a hotbed for conspiracy theories, and I've heard some wild ones. Pull out your tin foil hats, people, because there are many about. Some would have you believe that even this COVID-19 is a grand conspiracy that was invented by those who want to pursue a one-world government, and it's all fake. It's all just news stories. Well, you need to take into account who is spreading these conspiracy theories and the legitimacy of their sources and so on, and so many of them really can be dismissed. But the Bible says, don't fall into that trap. Don't call everything conspiracy that other people call conspiracies. Don't fear daunting tasks or assignments, whether it's Abraham, Moses, Joshua, others. He's given assignments. He said, I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will defeat your enemies for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Genesis 46:3, Deuteronomy 1:21, and so many others. Don't fear discipline. In fact, welcome it. Hebrews talks about him disciplining us in the same way that a father who loves his own children disciplines them. It's a sign that we are loved. Don't fear your enemies. Exodus 14:13, God said through Moses to the people, don't be afraid. Psalm 27:1, in a marvelous, marvelous psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 37 says, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't fret the evil. Don't fear the evil. Don't fret those who enact it. He told the Israelites not to fear. We're not to fear fear itself. That can be a self-perpetuating thing. And we have to remember who God is and the Spirit of God that lives within us, even as we've sung this morning. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Paul echoed this once again in 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. John in 1 John 4:11 and 18 said, Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We're not to fear the future. Isaiah 44:8. Haggai 2, verse 5. Revelation 1:17. And the reason why we don't fear? Because Jesus says, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. There is nothing that he fears, and there is nothing that we should fear, because he is the one who walks with us and protects us. Malachi says a couple of things. Malachi 3:5, and I'm going to read it once, but it has two things that it says. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me. Don't fear God. Don't fear injustice. He takes notes. In hockey parlance, he takes numbers and waits for his chance. Don't fear illness. Luke 8:50 has a story that talks about that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, particularly important. Don't fear illness, because God's plans are full of love and his grace is mighty. God said to Paul, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Whether it's illness or weakness, we do not need to fear it. Don't fear loneliness. The Lord himself goes before you and be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This from Deuteronomy 31. 43, verse 1 in Isaiah says, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Don't fear obedience. Yes, there may be consequences. Joseph was encouraged to take Mary to be his wife. In fact, to take her home as his wife, because what had happened in her was as a result from the Holy Spirit. Don't fear opinions. Don't fear what people say or think about you. Zechariah 8:13. Don't fear people. Don't fear demons. Don't be afraid of them, Matthew 10:26 says. There's nothing concealed that won't be disclosed or hidden that won't be made known. We do not fear anyone. Hebrews 13:6, the writer says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Don't fear persecution. Jesus' own words from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Don't fear the reproach of men, Isaiah 51:7. Don't fear ruin, Proverbs 3:25. "Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked." Don't fear rulers, Jeremiah 40, verse 9. Acts 27:24, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Don't fear for your own safety." Don't fear rumors, Jeremiah 51:46. "Don't lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. One rumor comes this year, another the next. Rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler." Jesus said, "Don't fear Satan." Matthew 10:28. Don't fear suffering. Jesus said in Revelation, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you and will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." We've often prayed for the persecuted church, and it's well documented that they don't ask that the persecution will cease, but that they will stay strong and faithful right to the end so God can accomplish what he wants to for his own glory. Don't fear the unknown. Don't fear the future. One of the most striking in this category, I would say, is from Matthew 28, when the angels came to the empty tomb. The angels said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Now, they had a couple of different reasons to be afraid, maybe three. The tomb was empty. Somebody had messed with it. If they were found on site by the Roman centurions and guards, they could be blamed and drawn into it. And then there was the presence of the angel himself. "Do not be afraid." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. This was breaking news. This was an ongoing news story. They didn't know exactly what had happened, and they didn't know how it would all pan out, but they believed the angel and were filled with joy. Don't be afraid of visions. The Lord came to Abraham in a vision, Genesis 15:1. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. Don't fear weakness. Isaiah 41:10 said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Daniel 10:19, God also told him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Jesus breaks the bond that fear had over us. Some people are deeply, deeply troubled by fear. Mom was one. And regardless of what we fear or how intense it is, we long not to fear. We long to be free to love and to be loved. We long for more of God's peace in the midst of stress, danger, and uncertainty. Fear God. Revere Him. Love Him, adore Him, worship Him, be devoted to Him. Fear God, but don't fear anything around us. What fear is trying to take hold of you right now? What threat or trouble are you facing? I know there's a great amount of very unsettled people and fearful people, even here in Jasper. Retailers who aren't considered essential services have been ordered to shut down. Some have shut down voluntarily. The seniors' lodges are closed to outside visitors. Parks has closed offices and services. There are people that were counting on a variety of sources of income that now are at a standstill. There are people whose economic well-beings are in real doubt. Now the government says they'll help them out, but it's not the same. What are you facing? David said in Psalm 56:3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? There are two aspects to that. When I fear, I'll go to God, and when I go to God, I will not fear. When we feel fear, it's the perfect time to pray. God, is this thought true? Is it loving? Is it from you? Is it helping me or hurting me? Is it saving my skin or stopping me from stepping into my very best life? Is this you or is it the enemy? Because the enemy wants to pervert anything that God means for our good. So fear can become distorted, disruptive, and destructive. Romans 8 talks about a lot of those things that could separate us, but can't, if that makes sense. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And in Christ and in his love, we are safer there than we can be anywhere else. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, neither powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Savior. John 16:32, and this occurred to me to be sort of apropos to social distancing and self-quarantining, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Jesus is talking to his disciples and predicting their abandonment of him. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you this so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Even in the Great Commission, where we are told to follow Jesus' example, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Fear has no place in our lives. But I'm not saying if you feel fear, then you're less than spiritual. What I'm saying is that we have no reason to be fearful because God is with us. He has promised to take us, to hold us. And we might face illness and serious injury, even death, in this life. But we are secure in him because we are not our bodies. We are our souls, and we belong to him. To repeat what the psalmist said in Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. We are safe in his arms. Let's pray. Father, you said that the truth would set us free. Jesus, you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. A relationship with you is what will set us free, and a relationship with you is what will set us free from fear. Lord, information won't. Fear won't drive us toward you. Only your love for us and our love for you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to sense deeply the fact that you won't let go, the fact that we are safely ensconced in your hands, in your care, that you will provide, that no matter what comes, you are with us, you will never forsake us. Thank you for these truths. Help us to live in them by the power of your Holy Spirit in these days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.